Welcome you this morning to service. I want us to turn this morning to Ephesians chapter 6. We are looking at the armor that we as Christians need desperately in order to fight the spiritual battle that we're in. Chapter 6, we have thus far looked at our foe, as we saw in verse 12. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness. That is our enemy. We have looked at pieces of armor, starting with the belt of truth, verse 14. We looked at the breastplate of righteousness. We looked at the boots, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This morning, we want to look at verse 16. It says, Above all, we are to take the shield of faith, wherein ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, or the wicked one. So we're talking about now faith. Now, this morning we said that the just shall live by faith, as the Reformation, which was the big issue with Martin Luther. As he began to study scriptures, continued to study it, he came to understand what that meant. The faith it's talking about here is everyday faith. It's not talking about faith we put in Christ at the moment of our conversion, but it's talking about everyday living faith. Because it's kind of apropos, our sign out there says where worry ends is where faith begins. I think it's something like that. I might have read it wrong. I think that's close to it. I have to get on Don. Where worry ends, that's where our faith begins. And that's true. That's true. Faith is something that we need extremely bad in times in which we live. And certainly if you're going to face the foe, you better have this faith. You better have this shield of faith. In Pilgrim's Progress, book by John Bunyan, Pilgrim ran across one by the name of Apollyon, the destroyer. And when he faced him, Apollyon said, "I'm going to spill you to the ground." And he then launches a fiery dart at Pilgrim. And what did Pilgrim do? He lifted up his shield and he deflected the darts of the evil one. Bunyan's point in that episode was, in order to resist the devil, in order to resist the powers of darkness, in order to resist Apollyon, the one who would destroy you, in order to resist him, we must live by faith. We must live by faith. Today in secular counseling, we have those that would tell you that praying to God is useless. We have those that would tell you that having faith in God and trusting God is useless. How did Christians, centuries ago, how did they make it without those counselors? How did they make it before we had modern psychotherapists and psychologists and others who tell us that is useless, that is a dead-end trail? How did they make it without this? Life wasn't much different then. They had their own trials. They had their own temptations. They faced difficult circumstances and situations. How did they cope with that? One answer. They trusted in the living God. I tell you what, when the Reformation comes every year, I try to read history of it. And I try to read it with an idea of we have today what we have because of what they faced. And we stand upon the gospel that they rescued from the Roman Catholic Church. And I've often sat and wondered, what if that had not happened? All of Western Europe would be completely changed. And what would we be facing? You know, everything we get over here comes from Europe. Everything we get over here comes from Europe. I was reading about the three grave diggers. The three grave diggers, they're called grave diggers because they're digging a grave to put God in. And they attack different things. Karl Marx was one. And he attacked God as ruler. Socialism. Christianity is just a religion of oppression. And God is the source of oppression. God is a source of controlling people. So he attacked God as a ruler. Then we had Charles Darwin, the second grave digger. He attacked God as creator, where we have evolution. And now AI has come in and says, now we're going to take mankind to the next evolution. I've been reading that book I told you about, Dark Eon, and what they're saying there and how it is advancing. So we'll bring man to the next point of evolving. And it won't be human. It'll be a mixture. And that comes from Charles Darwin. Then we had the third grave digger, Sigmund Freud. He attacks God's law. He attacks God's law. And to him, it's live loose. Don't live with any constraints. And he praises what he called a sexual revolution. Do what you can. Do what you want to. You need to break away from your strengths. The three grave diggers. Each one attacking God, trying to put him in the grave. That's our foe today, folks. Now you take those three and you apply that to where we're at today. And how much of an influence they have made on us today. Stares us right in the face. Turn with me to Psalm. What did David do? Do you think David went through some hard times? Yeah, I think so. Let's turn back to Psalm 31. Psalm 31. Notice what David said. Verse 13. Psalm 31:13. David said, I've heard the slander of many fear was on every side. They took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. But I went to see my counselor. Now remember who David said his counselors were. Thy word is my counsel. I trusted in thee. I put my faith in thee, O Lord. And I said, you are my God. You are my Lord. In Sunday school this morning, you are my Father. I'm your child. I'm trusting you. My times, he said in verse 15, are in thy hands. You're in control. Everything that's happening to me is like I'm there in your hand. What comes upon me is in your hand. It is guided by your hand. It will never, ever happen unless it is sifted through your hands. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that would persecute me. A few weeks ago, on Sunday afternoon, we looked at another one. Look at Psalm 37. Turn over a few pages in your Bible and notice what he says for us there. Look at verse 25. Psalm 37, 25. I have been young. Now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You young people here, I hope you can say that when you grow old. I hope you can look back on when you were a teenager and you can say, God was with me then. He is with me now, and he's never left me. He has never forsaken me. He has provided for me all the way. Has it been easy? Maybe not. But he was there. That was David's thinking. Polycarp, a disciple of John the Apostle, at 86 years of age, he was chained to the stake, tied to the stake by the Romans. They taunted him before they burned him alive, saying, where is your hope now? Where is your hope now? Don't you want to call out for mercy to Caesar and the gods? Rather than die this horrible death? Polycarp's response. 86 years have I served Christ, and he has done me no wrong. You know, you need to ask yourself that question sometime. You need to ask yourself, what has God done to you to make you not care for him? What did you know? Polycarp said, for 86 years and he has done me no wrong. How then can I blaspheme my King and my Savior? Am I to begin not trusting him now? His faith was totally in Jesus Christ. And there was nothing that would cause him to fear. Trusting in the living God is not useless, as many would like to have you think. Trusting in the living God is not vain, as many would like to have you think. And it has been that faith has been the stronghold of saints time and time again through the ages. As we read in Psalm 46 this morning. And here in Ephesians 6, this is Paul's remedy. Here in Ephesians 6, you see Paul. Now remember, we said Paul is at Rome. He's under house arrest in Rome. And we said it's like Paul is seeing these Roman soldiers. And he's taking that and applying that armor that he saw on them to the armor of the Christian. Well, now we're dealing with this shield of faith here, and he says, able to quench all the fiery darts. If you've ever seen movies like Braveheart and others like that, and the way they fought, and they'd have their bowmen, and they would feel the sky would be darkened with arrows. And I can see Paul thinking about that. And that image coming into his mind as he is seeing the sky turn dark with arrows being shot. Arrows that have been dipped in pitch and set afire and firing them. That's the picture Paul is giving to us here. The fiery darts of the wicked. And when the enemy attacks, he says, when the enemy attacks, we're to trust in God. We're to claim His promises in order to deflect or to quench those fiery darts of the wicked one. Hebrews 11 is filled with those who were facing the fiery darts, who were under attack. And by faith, they lived by faith. They endured by faith. They stood strong in their faith and trust in God. They faced many obstacles, many situations they faced. They trusted God. It's a day-by-day faith. Every day of your life is to trust in the Lord. And in chapter 11 of Hebrews, we look at that, whether they were delivered or whether they died. They had faith in God that He would do what's right. And some of them died. Why? Because God's finished with them here on this earth. As I've said, we are immortal until God is finished with you. When God is finished, He will take us. So this shield of faith in God is an absolute necessity. A necessity in order to quench the fiery arrows. So what are these fiery arrows? What is it that Satan fires at us? What does he do? What are they talking about? Well, think of a few. Certainly one thing is temptations that we all face. There are all kinds of temptations that Satan attacks us with. There are temptations that are common to all Christians. Maybe the temptation to fear the world events happening now, happening in the past, happening back when David lived. The temptation to be afraid of those world events. The temptation to fear the personal conflict that you may be going through, that I may be going through. The temptation to be afraid of that. And the circumstances we face, it may be finances. It may be broken relationships. It may be sickness. And maybe even death. It's the temptation to worry and fear those things. Because once we do, in that moment, we dismiss God. It's like sin, isn't it? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, he didn't speak it, he said in his heart. You know, when we sin, we become a practical atheist. At the moment we sin. How? Because when we sin, we all of a sudden dismiss God. And we, in a sense, become a practical atheist for that moment. Or that time. So it can be the temptation to fear those things. And we think about even today, Folks, there are brothers and sisters who are being persecuted today. Because they stand for Christ. These are the fiery darts, persecution. As David said, I'm surrounded by the enemy. They taunt me, they mock me. And he says, they were looking to even put me to death. Nigeria today, do you understand there are Christians being killed in Nigeria today? Many Christians. And I know someone, y'all had, remember Floyd Holmes came here. That's where he was a missionary, to Nigeria. His son John, who pastors Nan Winston-Salem, how things have changed. How things have changed. And right now, today, there are brothers and sisters in Christ who are being killed, being slaughtered in Nigeria. They've lost loved ones, personal possessions, taken because of their faith in Christ. That happened to those in Hebrews, remember? The author of Hebrews says you haven't suffered to the point of death, but you were willing to lose your possessions. You were willing to lose everything you own for the sake of the gospel. For standing with me. You were willing to do that. How many are willing to do that? I mean, we feel bad about this lady that got broke into and all of her possessions taken. But what if you lived in a situation where they just come in and take everything you own, your possessions, because you're a Christian? What would that be like? There are many who are under the pressure, as Martin Luther was, to recant. John Huss was, recant. Put under the pressure. I think of that one girl at Columbine. They wanted her to turn away from God. And she wouldn't do it. Now, I don't remember the exact words, but she wouldn't do it, and they shot her. Put yourself there. This is the devil. These are Satan. These are his tactics to put fear into us. To cause us to blaspheme God, to cause us to recant of what we believe, to turn away from our faith. And then all of a sudden, how about the times we're going along and all of a sudden this blasphemous thought comes into our minds. All of a sudden we begin to blaspheme God. All of a sudden we begin to question whether there is a God. We begin to question, is he really good to me? Look at what I'm going through. All of a sudden, he brings some lustful thoughts into our minds. Just like that. And you have done your best to guard your minds against that, but Satan does it. He can get those darts. He's a good shot. And he tempts us. Blasphemous, lustful. You try to resist those temptations. You try to resist that. You try to guard your heart the best you can. And yet it seems Satan has a way of getting in at times. And how many times does it come while you're praying? How many times will he do it while you're worshiping? How many people have come to Sunday on Sundays and they're worshiping the Lord, and all of a sudden Satan may slip this little thought, why are you wasting your time? Am I being conned? little blasphemous thoughts. I could be doing this. That's the fire of darts. These are things, and Satan aims those darts, and they come into our mind, and there they are, and we think, where did it come from? But it just pops in. All of a sudden, I don't know if you've ever read the Confessions of Augustine. Boy, he battled that. He battled that. He said there are times that blasphemous thoughts would come into his mind. Lustful thoughts would come into his mind. He bombarded with those. That's what we're talking about. And he confessed that. All of these are the flaming arrows of Satan. And so Paul says, taking the shield of faith. Taking the shield of faith. Take up the shield of faith. Now notice he says, take up. Now, the shield of faith here, he is looking at these Roman soldiers again. And they had two kind of shields. They would have the smaller one where they would have on an arm, where they're right or left-handed, they held an arm, and they could fight. They'd have the sword in the other hand. And they would fight, and they'd ward off the blows from the enemy. As the enemy would come down with a sword or whatever, they'd ward it off, or they'd block it, deflect it with the small shield. But then there was the large shield that they had. This one was the one that's like 4 feet high and 2 to 2.5 feet wide. And it would cover their entire body. That's the one Paul is talking about, the scutum. And he's saying, take up that shield. Protect yourself. And those soldiers, the Roman soldiers, would stand behind those shields. But they also did something else. The phalanx. And they would be a line of them. And this one would put his shield up. And this one would put his shield up. And this one would put his shield up. And they would be touching one another. And you had a wall. You had a shield there. And then you've seen them where they would put the shield over the top when the arrows would come in from the sky, and they would cover everybody. And so all of these Roman soldiers would have those shields up, and the arrows would just bounce off. So what are we saying here? We need to take up the shield to protect ourselves, but not just individually. What did I say this morning in Sunday school? We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We're a family. Are we ministering to one another like that? Are we protecting one another? Have we all got our shield up? Are we concerned about our brothers and sisters to protect them from that? To protect them from the onslaught of Satan? That's the idea here. Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. But we're to do what? Come together even more as the evil day approaches. What is the evil day? How about temptations? That's an evil day. How about when brothers and sisters are facing that? Are we protecting them? Are we standing strong as a family? Are we standing strong, Grace Baptist Church? Are we? Are we doing that? As long as the soldiers were behind their shields, they were protected. If they moved out, they were opened. And they could be spiritually wounded. Spiritually wounded by these darts. So the shield was essential to survival. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, faith here in this passage means the ability, and notice what he says, the ability to apply quickly. It is the ability to apply quickly what we believe so as to repel everything the evil devil does or attempts to do to us. And notice, it is the ability to apply quickly. Now let's go to 1 Peter. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. He speaks of the same thing here, doesn't he? Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Resist steadfast. Don't flee. Resist steadfast. How? In the faith. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The Bible, in places, refers to God Himself as our shield. Look back over at Genesis 15. Notice what it says here. Get back to where Abraham was at. Genesis 15. Abraham had led an army against four kings who had taken his nephew Lot and his possessions into captivity when they conquered Sodom. So Abraham defeated them, and he recovered Lot and his possessions. But afterwards, Abraham was afraid. He was afraid that these kings would regroup and come after him. And it's at that point that the Lord, in chapter 15, says this. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield. I thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. He said, I am your shield. Look at Psalm 18. Psalm 18. I think this is the one I want. Psalm 18. Psalm 18, verse 2 and 3. Psalm of David. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my, here it is, buckler, Hebrew word that, shield, my shield, and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Ha! Why would you want to trust in that? He's all those things to David. Look at Psalm 115. Psalm 115. Verse 9. Psalm 115, verse 9. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Now there is a difference in knowing intellectually. In knowing intellectually that God is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Now we can know that all day long. We can read scriptures and it tells us that, and we know that. But how about when we actually have to take refuge in Him and exhibit faith in a very difficult time? There's a lot of difference in reading it and getting it intellectually than actually doing it. Note Paul is telling us in our passage. Go back to what he's saying. He says to us, taking the shield of faith. Now, when he says we're to take it, it sounds to me like it's laying aside right now. But then we take it. Now there are some just looking at what we've studied so far, there are some pieces of armor that we keep on. We keep it on. When we looked at the other armor, they were foundational. Having our loins girt about with truth, you hang on to that. You hang on to that. You know the truth of God. You know what God's Word says. You know. And that truth, there's a defensive armor. When error comes, when Satan fires false teaching, you have the armor there. You have that belt of truth. You're girded with God's truth. You stand in God's truth. You have on the breastplate of righteousness. He's talking about your righteousness, where you stand when you're attacked by Satan. And Satan says, well, you're not such a good Christian, are you? But you fire back at him and says, let me tell you something. Christ is my righteousness. I'm having the breastplate. That you keep that on. You have the shoes. They're shod. Your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He's talking about the gospel that you have believed, that you stand in. And you stand strong in. But then he comes to this one. And he says, take it. Take up this. So we have the foundational pieces thus far, and there are two more we'll look at. But he says, you wear them all the time. You never go without them. You walk in that truth. You walk in that righteousness. You walk in that gospel of peace. Because you have God's truth. You have the righteousness of Christ. And you have that peace with God that Christ gives you through your justification. You keep those on. You don't take them off. But then the shield of faith you take. And what you're doing here is, Martin Lloyd Jones said this, it is the ability to apply quickly what God has given to us in order to repel or deflect the fiery darts of Satan. In other words, it is this. We used to have, and I think I mentioned this to you before, I'm sure, years ago in our youth group and Positive Acts of Christ, we came out with a red book. It was the Book of Remembrance. It had tabs in that book. And we would have a prayer section where we would write down prayers, and it would have a date that we started praying, and then a date where God answered it, or whatever. We had a tab for principles that we learn in God's Word. And as we're going through and reading God's Word and study, we'd write it down. If that was a principle, we'd put it under the principle. It was like a journal. We had the weapon journal. The weapon journal was really what we looked at with the sword of the Spirit. The weapon journal was a weapon to attack Satan with when he was attacking us. And we would have the verses, and we would call them the weapons, and you were completing your arsenal. Because here, and the point of that is this. How, I think we read last week where I think Jonathan Edwards said, how can God's word work through you if God's word is not in you? Right? But we also had a journal or a tab in there where it said promises. And you would take those and you'd find, when you come across a promise in God's word, you would write down and you would put beside that what that promise tells you. The idea here is this. When you are facing temptation, when he is firing the darts at you, immediately a promise or a weapon will come to your mind to ward off Satan. It was like Christ when he was tempted by Satan. How did he defeat him? How did he go against him? The Word of God. And that's what they were for. And you would go through these regularly so you get familiar with them. That's the idea. So it is one of those, it's the armor that when you feel Satan tempting you, when it comes, it's like you've picked up that shield, the Word of God, and you've deflected it. Now, how do you get that? There's the Word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not want sin against thee. What is Satan trying to do? Make you sin against God with those fiery darts. He's after you. He wants to destroy you. He's like that roaring lion. So it means you face the arrows of the evil one, whatever the situation may be, but you match up the Word of God with your situation. You match it up. Job said, I have made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I look upon a young maiden? That's a weapon. When Satan brings this thought to me, like Augustine, boom, wait a minute, no. Made a covenant with my eyes. Won't do it. So you store up, really, you're storing up an arsenal to defeat Satan. When he fires those at you, it's taking the shield of God's Word, the shield of faith. What are you putting faith in? What God's Word says. You're putting faith in that weapon. You're putting faith in that promise. That's what you're doing. You're putting faith in that. So you're matching the circumstance up with it, with the passage, and you match them. You know, we tend to trust ourselves a lot, though, don't we? We tend to kind of, we're facing, Satan's attacking us and all. We tend to kind of be our own deliverer with a little bit of help from God. We trust in ourselves and our own abilities when the difficulties come. John Calvin said that faith, by definition, looks away from oneself and to God alone for help. He goes on to say, Paul meant to humble us and to show us that God must provide us with all things belonging to and requisite to our victory. If we think that we're capable of handling things on our own with just a little boost from God, then we'll take credit for the victory. So the Lord has to humble us in order for us to see our weakness. So Paul says, Stand. Remember Sarah? Remember what Sarah was haunting, 90 years old? God says, I'm going to give you a son. Really? And the angel says to Abraham, why, Abraham, does Sarah laugh? Why is she laughing? And he reminded Abraham, there's really nothing impossible for God. There's nothing impossible for God. Nothing too hard. And he says, at the appointed time, I will return, and Sarah will have a son. So he reminded Abraham of his strength, God's strength, and of his promises. You know, how often we hear Christians say, oh, that I wish I had the faith that person had. I wish I had the faith that person has. Well, you know, you don't just hit somebody with a wand and say, bingo, there you got it. You don't just wave a wand and say, yeah, okay, there you go. What do you got to do? Study the Word of God. And that's where the arsenal is. That's where your weaponry is. But you got to know it. It's just like any weapon. You got to know how to use it, right? You got to know how to use it. So, again, and I think he says, above all. Now, it's almost like, now some say it is in addition to, but I'm not sure. I like to look at it this way. Above all. Now, is that saying it's more important than the others, or is it above the others? Well, I don't think it's meaning that. But I think that really, when you think about it, is this. When Hebrews starts chapter 11, remember what it says, verse 6, I think. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's why I think he says above all. Because if we're not living our life every day in faith with God, God is not pleased. He expects us to lean upon him, to have faith in him. And I think that's why he says above all. Because that's so important. When I stand before God, you stand before God, are you going to want him to say, you know, I was just very displeased with you because you didn't exercise faith. You didn't trust me. You remember this time, this time, this time, this time. Guess what you did? You afraid. You tried to take things in your own hand. I don't know, but and I'm sure there are times I'm going to stand there and he said, why didn't you trust me in that? Why didn't you trust me in that? I don't know, but I think that I want to stand there and him say, you know, I'm pleased with your trusting me. You had faith in me every day through thick and thin, because without it, you wouldn't have pleased me. It's just total dependence on God, isn't it? Just trusting you. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed. Father, you are our Father. If we're a child here today, Lord, you're our Father. We're your children, your sons. And Lord, you do love us. And you care for us. And Lord, we know that it's a battle. It's a warfare. It is a spiritual warfare. And Lord, there are difficult times as Christians that we face. There are situations that are very difficult. But Lord, we just look to you. Because nothing is happening to us that catches you off guard. Nothing happens to us unless it is first sifted through your hands. Lord, as we look at the book of Job and said that, Satan could not do anything without your permission. Lord, you are the sovereign God over all things, and you are sovereign over what happens to me, your children. But Lord, you have purposes. And you know that we know that you're doing that which is right. And so, Lord, help us to just trust you. There is no temptation taking us that has not happened to others. We know that. But, Lord, you tell us that with the temptation, you will make a way of escape. You do it with the temptation. You don't just all of a sudden deliver us from it. You do with the temptation, you make a way. Because, Lord, you know what's best for us, and you know what we need. Thank you, Father, for it. Thank you for ones here today. I pray, Father, that we would understand the necessity of living by faith every moment. In Christ's name, amen.